This is Greg Carumbas of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines, and President Obama hitting the road once again today, trying to convince more Americans to get behind his approach to health care reform, and in turn convince their wavering members of Congress to get behind the plan as well. With just 8 days until the president's imposed deadline of March 18th for the House to pass the Senate version, and House Democratic leaders clearly not being in a position to provide the votes necessary for passage, the president now headed to St. Louis, Missouri today in another town hall-style effort in order to drum up more popular support. But as the president heads out to the Show Me State, Missouri Senator Kit Bond says the people of his state have already made up their mind. They hate this bill, but the president's just not listening.
We're not going to use reconciliation to try to clear up a flawed bill. The president has come to Missouri to try to tell us that we don't understand what's good for us. And Missourians have shown me, in the Show Me State, they don't want the tax and spend and Medicare cutting bill. So I hope the president would listen, but apparently he's just going to talk in Missouri.
You heard Senator Bond refer to the reconciliation process, and that was an issue touched on today by Vice President Joe Biden in Israel as he spoke with NBC's Chris Matthews. Mr. Biden says that he's baffled as to the big controversy over reconciliation since the major bill passed the Senate with a supermajority.
I feel confident the speaker will be able to get those votes. Everybody talks about this extraordinary process. This is a bill that passed the United States Senate with 60 votes. Yeah. 60 votes. To ask a majority of the members of the House to pass it and somehow that be extra judicial or extra legislative, it's just, this has been blown out of proportion.
The tactic of reconciliation is a debate for another time, but when it comes to the policy, this bill is a big fat failure. That, according to Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan, the top Republican on the House Budget Committee. He told the Fox News Channel on Wednesday that he believes this bill is not about actually fixing problems, but rather promoting an ideology.
We've offered the president dozens of ideas on how to accomplish this in a bipartisan way. It's really more about ideology. They simply believe the government should control the healthcare sector. It's consistent with their ideology. They'll never have the kind of power in Washington that they have right now again. So they're going to jam it through while they can.
Congressman Ryan says if you want any proof, just look at the bill and what it actually won't do. He says the Democrats talk about worthy goals, but the legislation doesn't accomplish any of it.
This bill, using arbitrary statistics, using nonpartisan statistics, real-world views, healthcare costs go up, the deficit goes up, premiums go up, taxes go up. So the substance in this legislation doesn't even actually accomplish what they claim it accomplishes. And so we're saying, why are you trying to jam this thing through? The American people don't want. We will work with you on these issues to do something that fixes these problems, yet they insist on jamming this thing through.
At WorldNetDaily.com today, as well as at Dateline.RadioAmerica.org, you'll hear my conversation with another House member, Missouri's Todd Akin. What's special about that conversation? Well, the Obama Town Hall Rally on Healthcare today is in Akin's district. He held a virtual town hall the other night and had three times the normal capacity for such an event, and he'll tell us exactly what the people in his district and his state are saying about this controversial legislation. Earlier on Wednesday, the president meeting at the White House with Haitian President René Préval, and once again promising continued U.S. support as that nation tries to dig out from the brutal earthquake that claimed over 200,000 lives and left millions of people homeless. The president put the tragedy on an American scale to help drive the point home on just how devastating this disaster was.
To offer just some perspective on the awful scale of Haitian loss, it's as if the United States, in a terrible instant, lost nearly 8 million people. Or it's as if one-third of our country, 100 million Americans, suddenly had no home, no food, or water.
The president says U.S. assistance is not over just because we're now past the immediate aftermath of the earthquake. He says our assistance will be long-term, and he says that will continue as long as the help is needed.
And working together, we can ensure that assistance not simply delivers relief for the short term, but builds up Haiti's capacity to deliver basic services and provide for the Haitian people over the long term.
The Obama administration will also be trying to drum up additional foreign monetary aid for the Haitian government and Haitian people at an upcoming donors conference. onto the foreign stage now. And Vice President Biden, as we mentioned, in the Middle East, trying to help bring the Palestinians and Israelis together. Just a few days ago, the Palestinians and Israelis announced that they would move towards indirect peace talks. Of course, Vice President Biden upset that at the same time that he was visiting Israel, the government there announcing that it was set to begin building more settlements, a move that flies in the face of demands issued repeatedly by the Obama administration. Nonetheless, Vice President Biden says friends of Israel, as well as the Israelis themselves, have nothing to worry about from the Obama administration. He says Israeli security is as important now to the United States as it's ever been.
This president, President Obama, has been aggressive in his support of Israel and the commitment that Israel's security is closely tied to ours. We, in fact, are committed to Israel's security. Nothing has changed.
The war against radical Islam continues on a number of fronts. If you head to worldnetdaily.com today or dateline.radioamerica.org, you'll also be able to hear my interview with Dr. Waleed Faris, terrorism expert, Middle East expert. You'll hear my conversation with him about the story of Colleen LaRose, better known now as Jihad Jane, the Pennsylvania woman who was converted to Islam and then, over the internet, tried to find other followers who would help her carry out terrorist plots. We'll learn from Dr. Faris about just how intricate and detailed this plot is online by radical Muslims to target and lure in those who aren't even followers of the Muslim faith at this point, but radicalize them at the same time. Also at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org, my conversation with Carl Moeller, president of Open Doors USA. He'll be explaining how radical Islam is rearing its head in the nation of Nigeria and how those forces who want to impose Sharia law have been brutally and barbarically killing villages full of Christians. Again, worldnetdaily.com, radioamerica.org. Finally, the war in Afghanistan, of course, continues. And just a number of months ago, the president announced that he would be stepping up the U.S. troop presence there in hopes of drawing it down drastically by the summer of next year. Today on the House floor, Rhode Island Democratic Congressman Patrick Kennedy says that it's just wrong to continue this policy. And he says one of the key reasons for defending the policy doesn't hold water.
To protect the honor of those who've already died? I don't think so. There isn't a soldier in this country who's laid down their lives for our nation that isn't a hero. And no one in here disagrees with that. What is shameful is our policy that puts them in harm's way when they don't need to be.
I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.